The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. Dory is taking a little breather. Recharge those batteries so he can come back refreshed, rejuvenated, and give you the analysis and commentary that you have come to expect from him over the years. So I get to guest host, and I'm enjoying every single moment of it. All right, with that, we're going to get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
This was an explosive exchange that happened not too long ago on Capitol Hill. Merrick Garland, our attorney general, is appearing before the Senate, and he had a fiery exchange. Well, he didn't really answer any questions, but Ted Cruz was laying into him. And it was on the topic of treating parents as domestic terrorists. Now, remember, the National School Board Association, was it maybe 2 weeks ago now, sent a letter to Garland's office. The Justice Department asked if parents showing up angry with the racist curriculum, critical race theory being taught in the classroom, and upset at school board meetings, and they're upset not just that, with mask policies, masking these kids 8 hours a day. They're upset with these policies that allow boys who say they feel like they're a woman to use the girls' bathroom in the locker room, and I have a skirt on, and I'm going to go in. The girls, they felt uncomfortable with all this, and they decided to go to school board meetings and raise concern. Well, the National School Boards Association sent a letter classifying these parents as domestic terrorists. Said, should they be investigated by as domestic terrorists? Well, then Garland sent out a memo from as the attorney general, and he said for Justice Department lawyers to look into these situations and to formulate a plan on how they are going to address these parents who, oh, God forbid, oh, my goodness, showing up and thinking they can have a say in their child's education. And to investigate them like this is a police state. By the way, the Justice Department doesn't even have a jurisdiction. Some crime being committed or harassment that occurred, it's not a Justice Department issue. This memo was only issued to intimidate parents, and it backfired royally. The National School Boards Association apologized for using the word domestic terrorists. And Merrick Garland has appeared on Capitol Hill. And here is an exchange, and we're going to, it's 2 minutes, but I think it's worth playing in total. I may interrupt here and there. But I think it's worth just to show you the lack of answers that Garland has given and really what the issue at hand. It's informative in what is not said, and it's informative in the demeanor and the posture of Garland. Actually, after hearing it, you're going to be like, thank God this guy is not on the Supreme Court, and you want to maybe send Mitch McConnell a bag of popcorn and champagne to thank him.
Your son-in-law makes a very substantial sum of money from a company involved in the teaching of critical race theory. Did you seek and receive a decision from an ethics advisor at the Department of Justice before you carried out an action that would have a predictable financial benefit to your son-in-law?
This memorandum is aimed at violence and threats.
I just asked a question. Did you seek
an ethics opinion? It has no predictable
effect. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
It has no
predictable. Did you seek an ethics opinion? Judge, you know how to ask questions and answer them. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
You asked me whether I sought an ethics opinion about something that would have a predictable effect on something. This has no predictable effect in the way that you're talking about.
So if critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money?
This memo has nothing.
If critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money? Yes or no?
This memorandum has nothing to do with critical race theory.
Will you answer if you sought an ethics
kind
opinion?
Of curriculum?
Will you answer if you sought an ethics?
I am answering the best I can.
Yes or no? Did you seek an ethics opinion?
This memorandum has
did
nothing.
Did you seek an ethics opinion?
This memorandum has nothing to do with.
General, are you refusing theory. To answer if you sought an ethics opinion?
I'm telling you that there's no possible.
So you're saying no? Just answer it directly. You know how to answer a question directly. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
I'm telling you that if I thought there was any reason to believe there was a conflict of interest, I would do that. But I cannot.
Why do you refuse to answer the question? Why won't you just say no?
I'm sorry.
You're not going to answer the question?
I'm sorry. Ask the question again.
Did you seek an ethics opinion?
I'm saying again.
Wait. Can you ask the question again? He just asked it 20 times. What?
I think he was referring to Cruz said something while he was talking, and anyway.
It was on the same exact topic.
Mm-hmm. I would seek an ethics opinion.
So no is the answer, correct?
There was a
Senator, your time is up.
Let the record reflect the Attorney General refuses to answer whether he sought an ethics opinion, and apparently ethics are not a terribly high priority in the Biden Justice Department.
I don't think that's a fair reflection of what I said.
Then answer the question.
Senator, you've gone way beyond any other senator's time. I think you ought to be at least respectful of other senators at this point.
Mr. Chairman, do you know the answer, whether he sought an ethics opinion?
I think you have exchanged that so many times, we know where we stand.
That was Dick Durbin, who was the presiding senator on that committee, the Judiciary. I believe that was the Judiciary Committee, which makes sense if Garland is testifying before them as the Attorney General. So I wonder we know the answer, and the answer is no, because he could have just said it and moved on. Instead, he gave Ted Cruz ammunition to continue to grill him. But of course, it's a conflict of interest if his son-in-law is part of a organization that tries to get critical race theory taught in schools. And while Garland said, this wouldn't affect, there's no predicate here for an ethics inquiry because this memo said nothing about critical race theory, but it did it. While it didn't say nothing about critical race theory, what was the memo targeting? Parents who were showing up to their school board meetings complaining about critical race theory being taught and launching campaigns to oust board members who are trying to direct critical race theory. So, yes, critical race theory is actually the predicate, among others, but it was one of the main predicates for this memo that was sent out. So it's complete dishonesty. And, you know, Nicole, it's going to be interesting. It's the cleanup that's going to happen because Garland doesn't respond, but this could be an ethics violation. And usually what happens later on, if he testifies, he'll be notified by one of his own counsel there whether he needs to answer directly for the record. And I guarantee you there's going to be some cleanup at some point regarding this Cruz inquiry, because anytime a family member can benefit in any way, and it's, again, that's the appearance of impropriety. It's not even direct impropriety. It's the appearance of impropriety where you're supposed to get these ethical inquiries sorted out beforehand. Okay, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Top trending, and this is an interesting exchange involving Katie Couric. Katie Couric has a book out. Katie Couric is doing a mea culpa for how she handled the Ruth Bader Ginsburg interview. What was this, 2 years ago maybe? 2 years ago this around? And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, to her credit, was critical of the anthem protests. And she thought it was disrespectful and shouldn't happen. But there was a lot more to that interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's sitting Supreme Court Justice Katie Couric decided, and this is what she talks about in her book, try to juice book sales. She said that she declined to report fully what Ginsburg said because she gave a reason. She didn't think Ginsburg knew what she was talking about. She was trying to be sensitive to the time. Ginsburg basically said that these people who are protesting, they should be grateful that they're here. You should be grateful that they're in America. And which would be news, right? That would be news. Oh, here is what Ginsburg actually said to call the Kaepernick protests stupid.
Justice Ginsburg, how do you feel about San Francisco 49ers player Colin Kaepernick and other NFL players who have basically refused to stand for the national anthem?
What do I think? I think it's really dumb of them. Would I arrest them for doing it? No. I think it's dumb and disrespectful. I would have the same answer if you asked me about flag burning. I said, I think it's a terrible thing to do, but I wouldn't lock a person up.
Okay, dumb and disrespectful. There was a lot more that was said that Katie Couric decided not to air, and calling the Kaepernick crowd not just disrespectful, but ungrateful for being in America and taking advantage of what America has to offer and then trashing America. That would have been really newsworthy, but Couric decided not to air it. So here is Katie Couric on Colbert saying that what really needs to happen to have trust generated in the media once more, people like her and her esteemed colleagues, is just to apologize for being wrong. You know, just to apologize. And she highlights CNN in particular. Here's what she said.
I think the way to restore faith in the media is that we should be willing to say we made a mistake. You know, NBC should be able to say we shouldn't have sat on the Access Hollywood tape. So the Washington Post had to publicize that story. Mm-hmm. Or CBS should say we shouldn't make women sign NDAs and push talented women out of the business while sexual harassers are allowed to stay and thrive. You know?
But since you're there.
Wait.
Since you.
Wait, I got one more, baby. CNN should be able to say we shouldn't allow Chris Cuomo to yuck it up with his brother, the governor of New York, with a giant Q-tip in the middle of the pandemic because it's good TV. They should say we made a bad decision. That was wrong. And I think it's really important for people to acknowledge when they probably have erred the wrong way.
That's going to restore the trust, is if these outlets just said we're sorry. We're sorry for being hacks. We're sorry for getting it wrong. No, yeah, it's going to take more. Actually be open and be transparent about your worldview. If Katie Couric and her colleagues, CNN and all these other outlets she mentioned, just said, listen, I voted for Joe Biden. I'm a left winger. That's how I report. Then there would at least be some honesty, some transparency. Now, what really causes the lack of trust in the media is because not only do folks think they don't report accurately, but they think there's an agenda, and there's always an agenda.
I think it's funny. She says, sorry, we'll solve all of our problems.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. Just give in a circle and a fire and kumbaya. Sorry, everyone. No, it's that they have an agenda. They try to hide their agenda. Be open about your agenda, and then maybe people will think you're authentic and try to trust you. But Katie Couric's out there trying to sell a book, and we'll see if it sells. And by the way, it's so convenient for her to do this while
selling.
She has a book. I know it's selling. It's so convenient for her. We'll see what the shelf life is. They always sell the first few weeks, but let's see the staying power after that. Convenient. She saves this for her book. She saves this Ruth Bader Ginsburg expose, revelation,
yeah.
Right? Her the surprise for her book. At such a time where she's trying to make money off of it rather than doing it. See, that's the thing. People aren't going to trust her because she's trying to sell a book. So, of course, she kept it hidden, this revelation, this information. Surprise, here you go. Now buy my book. No, don't buy her book.
I've said this before, but all of this Katie Couric talk just makes me miss the old Today Show, the way it used to be.
Matt Lauer?
Yes.
As he was raping people in his office?
All right. Well, I mean, we didn't know that.
Apparently, they knew that.
I'm not talking about the off-the-camera action. I'm talking about Katie and Matt. That was a good news show.
Yeah. Katie, Matt, and then, you know, some favors in the office for Matt to keep your job. Okay. That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Matt Lauer. I wonder what he's up to.
Oh, he's got a new girlfriend. I saw that.
He has a new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife divorced him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good for her. Mm-hmm. All right, next up in the big lead.
The big lead, top trending.
We'll stay on NBC since we mentioned the Today Show. They did a report on how Thanksgiving is going to be the most expensive of all time, coming up from when it was the cheapest under a previous administration. I think this is interesting. Coming from NBC, and we're about to all feel the pinch because prices have soared considerably.
This Thanksgiving, be prepared to fork over more dough for your feast. Last year, as people gathered in smaller numbers, Thanksgiving prices were the cheapest in a decade. But now, with higher demand and lower inventory, pound for pound, gluttony is going to cost more.
We're sitting in almost a perfect storm of multiple issues at one time within the food and ag system.
The nation's food supply has been hit hard by transportation costs, labor shortages, and inflation. The cost of turkey is set to surpass the all-time record by the end of the year. And in North Carolina, it's almost twice the price to ship sweet potatoes from the farm to your table. This holiday season, fan-favorite canned cranberry sauce will also cost more. Those cans are made of steel, the price of which is up more than 200%.
There we go. We were told inflation was transitory, right? Oh, it's inflation. It's transitory.
Those are my two favorites.
Sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes and the canned cranberry sauce.
I hate the canned cranberry.
Just, I make the sweet potatoes in my family, and the canned cranberry sauce goes right in front of me.
Well, you're going to be paying more.
But that's for the regular potatoes.
Do you know vanilla extract is $2 more? Vanilla extract, $2 more now.
It's already, I mean, it's kind of expensive. I mean,
$2 more than it was.
Yeah,
it isn't expensive.
It's wild. It's wild how
Nicole, things are. 2020 was one of the cheapest Thanksgivings. And 2021, one of the most expensive. You know what happened?
I don't know, because both years we were in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything having to do with leadership in the Oval Office or lack thereof. Maybe, just maybe. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. Okay, coming up next, we want to delve into a story we talked about a little bit. We want to get some more details about a Spokane City Council member who wasn't too enthusiastic about helping the police when it came to solving an execution-style murder. We got that and a lot more with me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. And we are back. Welcome to the Dory Monson Show with me, your guest host, Jason Matera. I don't know how he got into the studio, but I have next to me Jason Rance. And I'm told he's going to be a guest on this segment. Who let
Hi.
You in the studio? Oh, you work
Nicole.
Here. Oh,
yeah.
Nicole.
No, Nicole let me in.
She let you in. She booked you.
We need another Jason.
Another Jason, just to make things even more confusing. Well, I'm listening to Aaron's report. And Aaron, you're here too.
Yes.
So the ferry lines that are going to have the Native American names, that's a tradition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought that was offensive. I thought it was, we can't name
like
sports
a cultural
teams.
Appropriation?
Yeah, like we can't say Washington Redskins anymore.
Yeah, why can you name a boat after?
Why can we name a sports team after a Native American figure and not, and the ferry line is, you know, that's apparently okay.
Yeah, and you know, I'll go one step further. At least a sports team can do really, really well, so you're at least honoring the Native American culture. But when we're talking about the ferries, they're always late. They break down frequently. That's especially
that would be offensive. That would be offensive. I mean, sports teams. You have like the tomahawks, right? You want to elicit fear in your opponent. It's something that engenders respect. The ferry. If I had my choice, and I was one of these tribal leaders, okay. I can be a billion-dollar sports team, or I can be part of Washington State's transportation system. You know,
you're going with the sports team. This is the equivalent of instead of getting a park named after you, they give you a bench. It's like, okay, that's all I've earned. I can't get the actual park. You're giving me a bench in the corner that no one even knows exists.
Who would want a Seattle park named after them?
Oh, well, in my world, it wasn't a Seattle park. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
I mean, come on. I mean, talk about offensive.
Yeah. I want that park, especially the one with the human feces. That's mine. Name it after me. Name it after me. Okay. We brought you on not to talk about ferry lines or human waste in Seattle park. You can do that on your show. You can do that.
Believe me, we do.
We do. Okay, but you have a story on on My Northwest, and it's this lunatic Spokane City Council member, Betsy Wilkerson, who apparently we played the audio of the encounter earlier, at least the body cam footage of this officer. So there was a gruesome murder that took place near this disability home that Betsy Wilkerson runs, and apparently. Or allegedly, she was not cooperating with the police in giving over camera footage that may shed some light on who was responsible?
Well, she was reluctant, we'll say that, because we don't actually know if she ended up turning over the surveillance video that the officer asked for. And in this body camera footage, you can only catch the officer talking to the council member because this was done over the phone. She wasn't actually at the business. And so he basically asked some questions as to whether or not the surveillance faces the street, because they wondered if the suspect actually wandered by. They were looking for this guy at the time. And he, you know, there's a little bit of a back and forth. Then there's just odd silence for a bit. And then almost what I heard is an awkward, almost chuckle. And then he goes, well, I mean, it's for a murder investigation. And then they wrap up the phone call. And that's probably where the audio picks up that you had played earlier. It's goes up to his colleague. The colleague is waiting for some help. And then you can probably play the clip.
Yep. And we do have it.
It's better than me just recounting it.
You recounting it? Well, actually, Nicole, can you bump it up for me when you get a chance? It was shocking. The reluctance, I'm not too enthused, is apparently what she
said.
That's what
the officer says. Here's the clip.
So I don't know how willing Betsy is going to be. I got her phone number. She's manager. Address. I can call her back later because she's never done this before for video surveillance. She's not here. And especially, she just says she works for the city council. And no, and Betsy said, I'm not really too enthused to help you, but...
She said that?
Yeah. So, first she was a little, I'll try. So, yeah.
Did you tell her what this was for?
Yeah. I said it was for a murder, and...
What's her name?
Her name was Betsy.
What a piece of work.
Yeah.
Not too enthused to help us.
Yeah, so...
So we don't know at the end of
this manager, or this girl said... We love you and full support of us.
Yeah.
Which was also on the body camera footage.
We love you. We're not enthusiastic about turning over.
I'm not
our
too enthusiastic yet. About helping solve a gruesome murder that apparently was
an execution.
An execution style murder of a mother of two. Now, they ended up catching the guy, or who they thought was the guy at the time. Can't say I took a deep dive into the actual case, but you know, when you've got a council member who's out there who's running for re-election. In this case, she's running unopposed, so it's not going to directly hurt her chance of re-election. But when you're running on this platform that you're all about collaboration, trust, and respect, which I took directly from her website, this obviously runs counter to that. Now, over the course of the last year, basically, she has adopted a lot of the anti-police language and rhetoric, talks about how she wants to move funding into community programs. She never quite says, I'm a defunder. But she's very clearly flirting with that kind of position. She holds the belief, apparently, that police go out of their way to target black people for murder. It's just, obviously, that's disappointing rhetoric. But when you're in a position where you can provide surveillance to help solve a murder, that you would not immediately say, of course, I would want to turn this over to you, is obviously problematic. Now, I've reached out to her multiple times. She has ignored every single one of our requests, although I'm told she did send a very angry email, or her staff did, over the course of the last 24 hours to the police department. I don't know quite what was in the angry letter, but probably, how did he get this video?
Oh, my goodness.
Which is available at MyNorthwest.com.
Jason Rantz acting as a journalist and holding... Well, we can't... That's, by the way, why we have body cam footage, is to capture moments like this. And it gives...
Capture council members who act out in egregious ways.
Well, sure.
Yes!
And police officers that may act out in egregious... But it provides a level of transparency. And here you have a council member who... does not want to be transparent. You said that she has adopted some of the BLM rhetoric. And you mentioned one thing, and this is just scary, that it's a council member in this position, although we have a lot of this here in Seattle. She said, the ones who are supposed to protect and serve, police officers, we beg you to stop killing us. We beg you. As though, and it's so infuriating, because I know you have many sources who are police officers. I've done so many police ride-alongs over the years. I've talked to so many cops. Yeah, there's a few bad ones here and there. But the vast majority of them are getting up and not think, oh, which black and brown person can I murder today? And it's outrageous that this is just rhetoric that is allowed to fester and nobody calls it out We call it out, but no one in a position of
Democrats who pretend,
yes.
Yeah, Democrats who pretend that they support the law enforcement community, media that when there is a shooting where a cop is injured, they go out of their way to say, oh, we respect them. Let's raise some money. Let's cover honor. Like, they don't call any of this out. They play it. They amplify it. And they kind of just say, oh, yeah, well, we understand their pain. But I'm sorry, that is absolutely ridiculous. And tell me another profession that is treated this way. After a teacher, very few do this, but some teachers have inappropriate relationships with their students. Do we have any sort of commentary from people saying, teachers, please stop dating our sons. Stop molesting our daughters. No, of course not, because that would be offensive and stupid.
Imagine someone getting up, oh, teachers wake up every morning and try to diddle their students. Who would say that? Who would say, and that's the same exact thing. Who would, with police officers who risk their necks every single day, and it's maddening. I want to transition national politics. We have a few big gubernatorial races coming up. The big one is in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe is trying to, and Joe Biden, trying to paint Glenn Youngkin as just this Trump acolyte. This seems like the Democrat playbook is now they don't have a message. Their message is
well, that is their
toxic.
Message. Everyone is tied to Trump.
But what do you think it's going to work, or you think it's going to backfire?
It depends. So I am a big believer in not looking at one particular race and saying this is some sort of bellwether. But we generally know how the media operates, and they will treat this that way. And we also know most likely how the DNC will operate. So if at the end of this, McAuliffe is able to win. And by the way, he was always expected to win. Youngkin was never supposed to have any shot in the world.
Yeah.
And yet all of a sudden, the polling suggests that it's neck and neck, that maybe Youngkin is tied, maybe behind by a point in a blue state. If they end up winning, they'll continue that messaging. If they lose, they'll stop that messaging completely. From my perspective, this is win-win for Republicans. Obviously, Republicans would rather Youngkin win because that shows a blue state turning red. But if he comes within a point or two of winning, well, guess what? The guy who was not supposed to win whatsoever in a blue state came awfully close. And you're going to go into some of these swing districts or swing states, and they're going to use the exact same Youngkin playbook, because that will mean they might have that edge. They might not have an edge in a blue state, but they will have it in a purple.
Jason Rantz, everyone, here
on
the Dory Monson Show. KTTH, you can catch him 3 to 6 p.m.,
and Fox News tonight at 9 and then tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Okay, now you're just bragging. He had a
I'm so in. Popular.
Yeah, there we go. Follow him on Twitter. Instagram. You have a TikTok? You're telling TikTok? Yeah, he's on TikTok. Jason Rantz is on TikTok with the teenage girls. No, I'm just playing. I don't know if he's on TikTok or not. He left the studio. Awesome audio coming up next will be Jason Matera, guest host of the Dory Monson. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory. And I'm going to get it right this time, Nicole. I'm going to get it right. We're going to get to our awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
Well done.
There we go. There we go. I was actually hoping. It was easy. If you remember. I just didn't remember. Okay. This one's a good one. Okay. Should we set it up? We're going to set it up. A guy is asking a Target employee to do a page for him. You know, you can page someone. You know, you can't find your parent or your friend or whatever, and you can ask them to do a page. Well, he asked a Target employee to do a very specific page, and let's see if you can catch it.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Can you page somebody, please?
Yeah.
It's first name Lesko.
I don't know my
real name.
What's last name?
Brandon.
Last name Brandon?
Yeah.
Let's go, Brandon. Your party's waiting for you. Guest service. Let's go, Brandon. Your party's waiting for you.
I love it. I love it. Let's go, Brandon.
You think it was probably staged? A setup.
You think it was staged?
I think it was staged, but you know.
I don't know. I've heard.
Clever.
I've heard. Recall Newsom pages at LAX airport. They've gone through. I mean, I think I can see how this could have happened.
It happens.
Let's go. If you know what, though, we can give our listeners some suggestions, right? They can give them some some fodder. Go to Target. Target. You're in Walmart. Go ahead. All right. Here's Floyd Mayweather, and he is released a message of support for Kyrie Irving for refusing the mandate, which means he's being benched with the Nets and losing out on a lot of money to boot.
Because you're a great person, great father, great athlete, and you believe what you believe. America is the land of the free. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and supposedly freedom to choose. Never be controlled by money. I respect you for having some integrity and being your own man. A free mind makes its own choices, and an enslaved mind follows the crowd. Stand for something or fall for anything. One man can lead a revolution to stand up and fight for what's right. One choice, one word, one action can change the world. It's crazy how people hate you for being a leader. I hope your actions encourage many others to stand up and say enough is enough. Respect to you, Kyrie, and power to the people.
Good for Floyd Money Mayweather giving that shout out to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie, I think, is a kook in many ways. However, I agree that he should have the choice, as should anyone, have the choice of medical autonomy, what goes in their body and what doesn't. And it's amazing. We have heard freedom to choose so often in American from the left when it comes to specifically the issue of abortion. But when it comes to the issue of vaccination, nope, you have no choice in the matter. All right. Speaking of vaccination, here is one FDA advisor admitting that they won't know side effects until they start giving the doses to millions of kids.
We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. That's how we found out about rare complications of other vaccines, like the rotavirus vaccine. And I do think we should vote to approve it.
Oh, that's just the way it goes. We won't learn about any adverse effects. We'll learn about its safety or efficacy until we start doing it. We just, as a woman of vote, we just got to go ahead and do it like a kid is a lab rat. All right. And here's another doctor that's saying some kids should get it, maybe kids with some serious pre-existing condition. But no, humans are not cookie cutter. And many kids, virtually all of them actually, are not susceptible. So maybe we shouldn't have a blanket policy.
I do believe that children at highest risk do need to be vaccinated, but vaccinating all of the children to achieve that just seems a bit much for me. So I'm having some challenges with this one.
Oh, there's some challenges. This guy eventually abstained from voting. The FDA advisors voted, though, eventually 17-0 to approve it, as you know, and now it's going to progress forward when the own advisors, their own committees that are assembled to discuss efficacy and safety, their own advisors are saying, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this. We don't really know until we start doing it. They're admitting that children are like guinea pigs to them, that children are like lab rats to them. Well, they're not to us. We're designed to protect our kids from these people who want to turn them into some Frankenstein experiment. Oh, let's just see what happens. Give them the dose and let's hope and pray for the best. Nope. Not going to happen. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. I'm back one more day with you tomorrow. And then you can relax. You go ahead and get Dory. So enjoy the rest of your day. Tom and Curly are coming up next.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.